Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto Spring Film Festival season continues with TJFF, the Toronto Jewish Film Festival, which finishes this weekend with two great French films, Summer of 85, a gay mystery romance set in the 80s and directed by Francois Ozon, and The Specials, a crowd pleaser by Olivier Nakache and Eric Toledano, best known for the hugely popular Intouchable, The Untouchables. And it's about a makeshift social services center in Paris for hard-to-handle kids with autism. Check these out. But this week, I'm talking about another TJFF, the Toronto Japanese Film Festival. This one's also digital, but for this TJFF, each film plays for the duration of the festival until June 27th. So you can watch them, the films, when you want to. And as always, it's deftly programmed with movies ranging from samurai to yakuza to family dramas, romances, comedies, action, anime, and even some adapted from manga. So this week, I'm looking at three new Japanese films, all of which are told from a female point of view. There's a cook trying to capture the flavors of her childhood, a high school girl who seeks answers on top of a roof, and a wife who can't decide whether her husband is an adulterer or a spy. Wife of a Spy, directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. It's the 1940s in Kobe, Japan, where Satoku and Yusaku are a happily married couple. Satoku, played by Aoi Yu, is a movie actress, and her husband, played by Takahashi Issei, is a rich businessman who owns an import-export corporation. Japan's at war, but the two of them continue to live a Western-style life of peaceful luxury. But everything changes when Yusaku and their nephew Fumio return from a business trip to Manchuria. Manchukuo is a Japanese puppet state in northeastern Japan, where they witnessed unspeakable atrocities and war crimes committed by the notorious Kantogun, an elite branch of the Japanese military. And they also brought back a young Japanese woman with them. Satoku sees only the young woman and knows nothing about the war crimes. Is her husband cheating on her? Who is this woman? Meanwhile, to complicate things, a childhood friend named Taiji relocates to Kobe. She remembers him only as a kind young man, but now he's a member of the dreaded Kempeitai, the Japanese Gestapo. He criticizes her for wearing dresses instead of kimonos and for drinking foreign whiskey, not Japanese. It's a time of extreme nationalism and conformity. He's also secretly in love with her. And he suspects Fumio and perhaps even Yusaku are traitors spreading Japanese war secrets to the enemy. Or is he just trying to break up their marriage? That's the mystery. But when she discovers the truth about the horrors of war, she confronts her husband. Does he have proof? Eventually, she has to decide whether to become a spy herself or turn in her husband to the police. Wife of a Spy is a great World War II thriller full of jealousy, intrigue, and numerous unexpected plot twists. Japan's not like Germany, where filmmakers there have produced hundreds or even thousands of movies and TV shows about their dark past. Rarely do you see Japanese films like this one. This movie is made for TV, so everything is on a smaller scale with a more compact feel than a theatrical film, but under the deft direction of Kurosawa Kiyoshi, and with his really good acting and script, along with costume sets and music, this one keeps the suspense building till the very end. Great movie. Mio's Cookbook, directed by Haruki Kadokawa. It's 1801. Mio and Noe are two 12-year-old girls in Osaka. They vow to be best friends forever, and one day they encounter a fortune teller who says Noe is destined for great success, while Mio will have to pass through dark clouds before she can reach blue skies. And that same night, a huge flood sweeps away both of their houses. Mio's an orphan adopted by a woman, and Noe completely disappears. Will they ever see each other again? Fast forward 10 years. Now Mio, played by Matsumoto Honoka, lives in Edo, that's modern-day Tokyo, and works as a cook in a small restaurant. But her love of the sweeter, subtler flavors of Osaka that she grew up with and she's used to are not popular in her Edo customers, who prefer stronger, saltier tastes. So after much experimentation and hard work, she comes up with the perfect blend of two cuisines. And she creates a chawanmushi, that's egg custard, that her fickle customers fall in love with. Soon, there are lineups around the block, and word reaches Yoshiwara, that's the red light district of Edo, where a mysterious courtesan who never shows her face in public and is known only as Asahi, played by Nao, sends an emissary to bring back a sample for her to taste. Who is this mysterious woman? Meanwhile, there are two men also interested in her cooking. An aristocrat, played by Kubosuke Yusuke, a samurai, and a doctor who frequents both the restaurants area and the Yoshiwara district. But evil forces, in the form of a competing restaurant owner, are working against her. They steal her recipes, they send bullies to scare away customers, and even set fire to her workplace. Can a woman, that's a rarity, be a famous chef in Edo? Will Mio ever find her childhood friend, and will she find love within the confines of her restaurant? Mio's cookbook is a lovely drama about friendship, cooking, class, religion, sex work, and the floating world of the Pleasure District. It's full of fascinating details about Japanese culture. Each new dish she creates is displayed and labeled for you to see, and has tons of period touches about life 200 years ago in Japan. It's directed by Kadokawa Haruki, notorious former movie producer, once heir to the Kadokawa publishing empire, but who fell from grace in a cocaine scandal in the 90s. He's sometimes called a Japanese Spielberg, who knows how to craft a complex plot and many characters that, while at the same time pressing all the right buttons to keep the crowd watching more, wanting more. This is an enjoyable film that left me feeling very hungry afterwards. Loved it. The Brightest Roof in the Universe, directed by Fuji Michihito. Tsubame, played by Kiyohara Kaya, is a high school girl in a town somewhere in Japan. She has a crush on her next-door neighbor, Toru, played by Ito Kentaro, a banjo-playing dude who thinks of her more as a younger sister. She recently split up with her own boyfriend after he posted cruel anonymous texts about her on everybody's cell phone. And at home, her parents, her dad and her stepmom, are preparing for a new baby. Will it take her place in the family? So Tsubame has lots to worry about, which she does every night on the roof of a building following her Japanese calligraphy classes. Until one day she realizes she's not alone up there on that roof. There's a tough-as-nails old lady up there too, who rides around on a kid's scooter. Huh? This strange granny is outspoken and opinionated and makes Tsubame feel strangely uncomfortable. There's something about her she just doesn't get. But eventually they become friends and confessors. Turns out Hoshiba, That's what she calls her. She's meaning Granny from the stars, played by Momoi Kaori. Apparently, she has special powers. Maybe she can even fly. But what she can definitely do is solve almost any problem. She says, at my age, we can do anything. And in exchange, Tsubame starts doing things for her, from bringing her meals to eat to trying to find her long-lost grandson who lives somewhere amidst all the rooftops in the town. Is Hoshiba real or imaginary? And can she solve her problems and vice versa? The Brightest Roof in the Universe is a sweet and absorbing coming-of-age story that touches on family, friendship, and love. It also deals with more obscure topics like inkbrush painting, spouse abuse, jellyfish, and astronomy. It's slow-paced but not boring and told in a series of revelatory chapters, some of which are actually total surprises. It's also a sentimental tearjerker, but I mean that in a nice way. I like this movie, too. Wife of a Spy, The Brightest Roof in the Universe, and Mio's Cookbook are all playing now through June 27th at the Toronto Japanese Film Festival. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies Eat, Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.